Well, thank you for the introduction. I'd like to also acknowledge our collaborators, my PhD advisor, Dr. Francisco Arriaga in the Department of Soil Science, Dr. Karthikeyan in Biological Systems Engineering, Dr. Peter Vadas at the USDA ARS, and Dr. Laura Ward-Good, also in Soil Science. So the title of my talk today is Reducing Winter Phosphorus Losses from Dairy Agroecosystems Through Tillage and Manure Application Timing. So the setting for our research really is this balance between this long-standing practice of applying manure year-round and the challenge of nutrient management when the soil freezes. In Wisconsin, the majority of our runoff occurs during snowmelt events when the soil is still frozen and has a limited infiltration potential. And so as there's updates to our manure regulations, there really is a limited field data set to draw upon with conclusive results. And some of the challenges in the past have been the sensitivity of the winter season to even small changes in temperature and precipitation, and just overcoming those confounding effects then in trying to test these different management practices. And so that's really where we come in. The objectives of our study are to identify management practices that will reduce runoff on frozen soils receiving these wintertime manure applications. We chose two to look into. First, the effect of tillage, so conventional fall tillage with a chisel plow versus no tillage. And then second, the timing of the manure application in winter. So is there a difference between applying early in the freezing season versus later on? And we'll look at that a bit in the next slide. Then secondly, we wanted to take this mechanistic approach to understand that if there are differences in runoff, what's causing that according to each treatment, so that no matter what the weather conditions are each winter, we can still account for them. So here are our management treatments, kind of a schematic of it. Across the top, I have conventional tillage. On the bottom is no tillage, and so we're really looking at the surface roughness during the winter, and does that have an effect in terms of runoff? Then across the bottom are our manure timing treatments. So we have our unmanured control, our December application. The goal here is that there's limited frost development in the soil and also limited snow accumulation. And then lastly, later in January, when we have more significant frost development and snow accumulation. So for us, early December is what we're testing versus late January. Now, so with these treatments, I should note that we have a 2x3 complete factorial design, which means we have every combination of these, which yields a total of 6 treatments, which we are testing in triplicate at our field site just north of Madison, Wisconsin, at the Arlington Research Station. So here we're using a liquid dairy manure, and I want to just make a quick comment about the rate. So when we set out to do this experiment, we did not aim to test rate. We wanted to apply 7,000 gallons per acre, since that is the maximum allowed for this soil type. But we found that with our no-till plots, we couldn't apply more than 4,000 gallons per acre, or else there would be immediate runoff. So this entire experiment is using 4,000 gallons per acre for that reason. And then I'll also note that this is all on a 6% slope. And so to have this mechanistic approach, we also installed a lot of instrumentation. And so what this allows us to do is quantify a water energy balance so that we can track everywhere the water is going and then account for these variable weather conditions. As a soil physicist, this gets me really excited because infiltration is currently impossible to measure accurately in a frozen soil. And so we can measure runoff. We have this nice setup up in the corner to collect that. We're measuring the precipitation, the changes in snow at the surface. I can calculate sublimation, and then as the residual get at infiltration and really have a glance at what these soils are doing in the wintertime. So let's get right to the data now. First off, tillage had the most significant impact on decreasing runoff. So in this figure, I have time across the x-axis, starting at the end of November through the end of March, and then runoff on the y-axis by each of our events. The color code here, black represents the January manure application, red is December, blue is the control, and then the solid lines represent the no tillage, and dashed is conventional tillage. Now I want to make a couple notes about our timeline here. So our December application occurred on December 10th, And if you look at the last 10 to 16 years of weather data, there's something like a 75% chance that our soils freeze around Thanksgiving and a 100% chance that they freeze by December 6th. But last year with the strong El Nino, we actually didn't freeze until around the first of the year. So that's one thing to keep in mind with this data set, is that our December application actually took place on an unfrozen bare soil, and its water content was near saturation because we had a high amount of precipitation in the fall. Then later, so January 26th was our January application, and then we thawed completely around March 12th. Okay. So looking at the season totals for runoff, treatments on the bottom by manure timing, and then the left panel is conventional tillage, no tillage on the right, and again, tillage had the most significant impact on reducing runoff. So now going into the phosphorus results, time again is on the x-axis. Total Caldol P is on the y-axis in grams per hectare. And again, we see quite a difference between no tillage, but especially the no-till January application. And then just to point out again that we froze early January and then we thawed around March 12th. So looking at our totals from the season now, our unit is kilograms per hectare. And again, there was quite a difference between conventional tillage and no-tillage, with our January no-till application contributing the most. Now looking at DRP, largest spike in the no-till January application. And then if we go into our seasonal results, there's really this difference coming from no-till. And so I would say that these results were a little bit counterintuitive. We didn't expect the conventional tillage to reduce runoff and phosphorus losses so much, especially when you compare it to the growing season dynamics, when you tend to consider greater macroporosity happening on no-till soils, hence greater infiltration. So let's take a look at that. Here's our soil infiltration. So again, we've got the manure timing treatment on the x-axis. Blue represents runoff in millimeters, and then green represents our infiltration in millimeters. The percentages here then are the relative percents of runoff to infiltration by treatment. So not only is there less runoff coming from conventional tillage, but it's also more efficient at infiltrating this meltwater. So then I also wanted to point out our January applications, because it maybe looks like there's not as much of a difference here in terms of water, but this is a really cool photo from February 1st, so about a week after our January application. Conventional tillage on the left, no tillage on the right, January versus the unmanured control. And so the dark color that you're seeing here isn't manure, but that's actually the soil, because the snowmelt had accelerated in these January plots. So what I hypothesize is happening here is that within our conventional tillage, we're creating the surface depressional storage, which simply allows the snowmelt to pond and have more time to infiltrate into these frozen soils. That just needs more time. Then in terms of the January application, from the energy balance, we've learned that it's decreasing the surface albedo, which allows it to absorb more shortwave radiation, which in turn promotes runoff events. And then there may also be some chemistry happening here with the salt content of the manure, in that its electrical conductivity is actually depressing the freezing point of the snowpack, allowing it to melt at even colder temperatures, also promoting these events. So a summary of our preliminary findings. First off, our inadvertent finding was that we couldn't apply more than 4,000 gallons per acre at our site. And then second, conventional tillage had the most significant impact in terms of reducing runoff and phosphorus losses. And then the January manure application tended to accelerate those losses. But keeping in mind that our December application wasn't on a frozen soil, it was unfrozen this past year, and we have two upcoming winter field seasons to look forward to and then compare our treatments across those. So with that, I want to say thank you very much, and I'll take questions. That's a great question. I didn't elaborate that.
Okay.
Yeah, so we tilled in October.
Okay, so and then you applied the manure to the ground that had already been tilled.
Exactly, okay. Yes. Oh, sure. How about in the back?
How long has the no-till been installed in this site?
It had been 5 years.
knowing that in a lot of different soil types that you get a benefit for sedimentation and phosphorus loss from various kinds of conservation tillage that you might look at, if there's a difference between conventional tillage and, say, strip till or, you know, or some other kind of conservation tillage, to see if you can kind of find that Goldilocks zone of, you know, we're losing less sediment and then we're also getting the winter benefit of kind of holding them in a room place.
Yeah, I think that would be a great next step. So for these next couple winters, I know that we want to keep our practices the same to just look at that variability over time, but I think that'd be a fantastic next step, that and cover crops, to really understand if that can slow down the runoff on these fields. Yes?
My study, it appears that the snow accumulation was small enough when it melted, it was stored in the landscape in those conventionally tilled sites. Have you thought about what's going to happen, or look, I know it's hard to do experimentally, but what happens when the snowpack exceeds that? In other words, is this something that we see in a low snow situation, and you get a heavy winter?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I'm actually going to go back to this figure here. So one thing that was interesting is that our conventional tilled plots did accumulate more snow in the wintertime compared to some of the no-till. And some of that is because our field is so windy that it causes this drift. But even with having less snow to process for this frozen soil in the January treatment, it still wasn't able to do so. And we did measure frost depth, so you would think that if there's these differences in snow accumulation, there'd be a difference in frost depth, and there weren't any significant differences there. But it will be interesting to look at future winters to see how that difference in snow accumulation changes the results. Yeah, that's a great point, because we're looking at conventional tillage. We did it in the fall, so this was before the spring finisher, which kind of flattens it all out, and we lose that surface depressional storage. And so in terms of the rest of the year, I would say that data is coming. So this study has actually been extended to be year-round, and we're tracking runoff year-round. It's not tiled, no.
You mentioned that the slope is 6%, so I'm just wondering, is that typical representative of other land, dairy farm land in that area, or is it more of a land that has not slope in that, and how much that is? You know, it seems maybe you wouldn't have as big differences with more subtle slopes.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and certainly that would change how our snow accumulates, too. 6% is pretty common for the area. As you get into western Wisconsin, that slope really picks up. So this was represented, but maybe on the low end, actually, for slope. All right. Well, thank you.